you guys had killed the snails, harvested their organs. You did come back. Beatrice, the kobold healer here, took care of Sue as best as she possibly could. You guys rested for quite some time. And then on your own, you have ventured back to towards the main entrance and entered into the Great Hall, which is littered with all sorts of kobolds within it. And you see fires along all the walls. They're kind of like this bluish fire, kind of providing this nice kind of clear glow about this large cavern. You see Sir Laertes at the far end next to this reddish, rusty kind of kobold, kind of adorned in this nice finery and robes, a bluish green kobold beside him. And you see Beatrice up by those kind of like main tables. And as they had entered in, they had welcomed you and everybody cheered to you three times. And as we come back into this room here in this moment with you guys, we see everybody down their drinks and kind of like sit down and resume while numerous different kobolds kind of like watch you as you stand there. And Sir Laertes comes kind of like running down the banquet hall and stands before Stool, Scylla, and Sifel here and says, please come with me, my lords and lady. We shall venture forward. The king is most apt to meet you.
Of course. I look forward to meeting your king, Sifel.
Sorry, hold on. I need to get in a proper voice. I was about to make a very, very northeastern mind flayer, and that wasn't a good idea. Yes, let's meet the, king.
I just gotta say, this Southie Mind Flayer is your backup character, right?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah, no, that actually, that's his, that's one of his friends from a past life. So actually,
cool.
That's your character to play now, when and if that comes about. We'll talk.
Thank you. We'll Sir Laertes leads you kind of weaving through the throng of people, and most of the kobolds kind of like split apart, scooch in their benches, making way for you all as you come forward. And Starcaller, you've been in the banquet hall. Do you join everybody up towards the front here?
Ah, of course. It would be my pleasure to join my new compatriots at the head of the table.
We see this rust-colored kobold come forward on the other side of the table, and this bluish, greenish scaled one. She seems to be holding a very small kobold, you would presume a child. And the king kind of gestures forward and he's like,
welcome to our kingdom. It is wonderful to have new guests here. I have been told your names. I hope you do not mind. And I am, well, first the ladies. This is my queen Griselda, and I, King Molitaire.
I had specifically asked our caller if there was any sort of like were we expected to bow?
Yeah, I think he said to bow. He said it would be polite to to bow and call him your highness.
Okay, yeah. So yeah, when King Voltaire, when he says that Scylla will do a like a deep bow, and she will wait for Sifel to also bow.
He's old and it's awkward, so he'll like pull up a little, like hold the side of his robes, and he'll do like that weird, very rigid, like slight bow. Nice. And back up.
Stool just like sits down on the floor.
Okay.
But the king just kind of chuckles and he goes, No, please,
no need to bow. Thank you. But you are guests here. There's no need for such formalities. Please come, sit, eat. We have plenty here for you to enjoy.
And he gestures to all the tables before you, and you see that there are various platters filled with like glistening tubers and beetles. You see what looks like a large roast of some sort, Feel free, if you want to identify it, roll nature checks if you want. And you see there's kind of like what looks like a greenish kind of... it looks like a mixture between a pineapple and a tomato. It's like it has the shape of a tomato, but it has like that spiny outer covering of it. And you see the king has like picked one up and he starts slicing it, and it has the center seeds of an apple, but the consistency of a pineapple. And he just starts like peeling the rind off and feeding it to the small child that his queen is holding. And he looks to you all as you presumably take your seats.
So Scylla, after bowing, would stand and, Your Highness, it is very kind of you to help us. We are very grateful for everything. Your people have been incredibly kind, and we are very grateful again. And she's like nudging Savelle, like, say something.
I think... what my friend is trying to allude to is your hospitality is most appreciated, and honestly, if I may speak plainly, it is a surprise to find hospitality such as yours in this... environment. We haven't been greeted so kindly as of late, so forgive us if we seem a little bit out of sorts.
I'm very sorry to hear that you have not been treated well. Have you been in the Underdark long?
Scylla is of the Underdark. I myself am a new... I was a captive of the Drow for a very short period of time, and have just sort of been surviving my way through since, with the help of many trustworthy companions, and now yourself and some of your compatriots, Laertes and Mr. Starcaller, came to our aid most recently. It's mostly been luck, if I'm completely honest.
I don't know if I could, by looking at you, claim to believe that it's truly been all luck that's gotten you this far, my friend. And, well, please, don't be afraid to eat. I'm...
Actually, quick question. You haven't been hiding yourself, have you, Sifel? Like, you're...
No, since Gracklestug. I was going to ask about that. I am full-on Mind Flayer.
Yeah, they don't seem fazed by it.
Okay.
Yeah, he's like, I'm sorry. Is there something else that we could perhaps bring you, friend Sifel?
No. Thank you. I appreciate it. The form is... somewhat deceptive. I suppose this meal wouldn't be the normal take for a Mind Flayer, but I myself don't feed, per se. So I am fine. Thank you very much for the offer. I hope not to offend you, but I have no need to partake. So please, spread it to whoever else needs it.
No offense taken, and the food shall not be wasted. Have no fear there.
We certainly will partake in this glorious feast, and it looks delightful. I do wonder if at some point while we are here, if we could get an audience privately with perhaps Your Highness, Queen Griselda, perhaps Artemis Starcaller as well, to discuss some of the things that have been happening that have been apocalyptic? She's like...
curious. No. Of course, perhaps we can discuss it in further depth after our meal here, unless you require no food. I was not made aware if you'd had already dined within your room.
We had eaten. Wait, we ate, right? Yeah. We did.
You had some food earlier, and food was brought to you. I don't remember if anybody particularly said they partaked, but it's up to you.
Yes, we had eaten, but we can wait. I think we will mingle and give our gratitude to your citizenry here, and perhaps we can speak later.
Well, of course. Yeah, we'll be here. Myself and Griselda will be dining and taking care of the little one. Please come and find us. Or if we are not here when you are ready to speak, I'm sure just about anybody can point you in the direction to eventually find us wandering the halls or in our chamber, which they can fetch us from. So please, feel free to mingle, ask your questions or anything else I can help you with. I'm much pleased that we have new friends here.
Of course. And Scylla will bow again and then turn around and go sit down.
Okay, you're not sitting with them. You're just going to go sit with the common folk?
Oh, they want to... she's lost. She's going to follow Sefel.
Yes.
The one who knows exactly what is going on.
Well, you know more than Stool.
Oh, boy.
Stool no. As like you look Fair. Over because you're Fair. Not sure what to do. He's just staring at a, like, chopped up plate of mushrooms.
Oh, no.
Of course, like, he doesn't have eyes and you can't really see his emotions, but he's just, like, deadpan, skull, mushroom, face, looking at them.
Yikes. We let it happen.
Alas, poor Yorick.
We just let him process.
100%.
Stool looks up at you.
Well, and there's a my friend.
No, he's fine.
Oh, the holidays at the Stool household are going to be very strange this year.
I think I'd like to sit by... If there's a seat open, like, between Starcaller and Queen Griselda, I think that's where I would sit.
Sure. There's, like, a bunch of tables there. You can sit just about anywhere you want to. Balisair and Griselda are on the other side. They have, like, they're kind of interchanging their child between them, taking turns, like, feeding. Starcaller is right across the other side, so you can sit between them and Sefel. Beatrice, like, as Stool is about to move up, just immediately slinks in between and gets next to Starcaller, and then Stool just kind of moves around to the corner, and then Laertes goes down to sit across from Sefel. So you're all kind of at this head table with all these roasts and foods between you all. What are you guys doing?
I'll address the tentacle in the room. I can't help but notice that for the first time since I have been down here, nobody seems to be disturbed by my physiology. Is this just part of your culture of... acceptance and virtue and helpfulness, or is there another reason that you seem not to be perturbed by the sight of a mind flayer in your cavern?
We have met members of the Illithid race before. We do have a companion from some group come to be known to us. They are called Grasilax. They have a similar visage to your own, but they are missing part of one of their tentacles. They are part of... perhaps you've heard of them. They're part of the Society of Brilliance.
I have not heard of this society. This is
a society of illithids?
We've only met Grisilax, but from what they've told us, they are a small group of highly intelligent, what I presume some people would prefer to call them monsters here of the Underdark, that are trying to turn a new face, make it a safer place for all peoples and kinds.
Interesting.
Not to say that we haven't met a rather nasty mind flayer here or there, but we generally prefer not to call to arms or make an enemy of someone unless forced to.
That is a very virtuous way to live. I'm glad that that has worked out for you thus far, it seems.
It's worked rather well for the time being. Not to say that we haven't had our scrapes here and there, but we do train diligently, and thanks to our friend Starcaller here, we have been able to improve upon our martial prowess. It's better to be what's the old saying? It's better to be a warrior in a garden than a gardener in a war, or something like that.
Something of the like.
Gardeners often make fantastic warriors.
Yes, no, I've heard the fables of the pot-wielding gardener, yes. Mm. No, we are sure to be blessed if one such should come into our mists.
I knew a story of the surface, a man known as Robert, who was a beet farmer. He had quite some history around him.
Yes, I must ask, speaking of the surface, do you have any travels or trade routes, perhaps communications with the surface?
This is when Queen Griselda kind of pipes up and she goes,
"No, we have not officially established any such trade routes to the surface. However, we are quite interested. Most of our kingdom, as you see it here, has been mostly formulated through burrowing, as we are quite acclaimed diggers here in the Underdark, besides the dwarves themselves and that of the purple worms and other species of tunnelers. Mm-hmm. We would be quite interested in establishing one, and we are beginning to make efforts in making our way to the surface. However, that could take some time. Do you yourselves have ways to make it to the surface?
We do not, but Sefal is from there, and, well, we are both interested in at least returning for a short time, if not longer.
I see. Well, I'm afraid we don't have any quick egress to the surface, but perhaps in a few months' time? It's very hard to say. We actually don't have any great idea of how far from the surface we are.
Certainly. And if I could ask, are there any who would wish harm upon the Kingdom of Ember?
Well, we've had a very few small skirmishes with some drow, unfortunately, but everybody seems to have trouble with them as far as we can ascertain from those that we happen upon in our travels in the tunnels. But no, we've largely kept ourselves rather sequestered away from many eyes. We have begun thinking about opening a trade route to Gracklestug, but those few that we have sent with some of our goods have not returned, and so we think it's possible that that might no longer be an option.
Yeah, not recommended. It's kind of a backwater town now. Yeah, no, much. Don't read the pamphlet.
Really gone downhill.
Yeah, they're really gentrified neighborhoods, crashed the whole thing. It's just not a good site anymore.
Have you two spent time in this Gracklestug?
It sounds like you've come from there rather recently to know such things.
I have spent much time in Gracklestug.
It is actually where we were just prior to the location that Mr. Starcaller found us in. We were making our way far away from Gracklestug when we stumbled upon a lava river and got jumped by snails.
I see, I see. And what has happened within Gracklestug? Or is this part of the more private conversation you wish to have?
Yeah, can I attempt to... I want to, like, have, like, a meaningful, like, communication, silent communication with Sefel of, like, are we going to trust these people with, like, knowledge? I just want to see if I can, like, get a vibe off of Sefel.
I'm just going to say you two can have this kind of, like, you guys can say what you want to each other, and we'll just pretend that you're, like, miming it to each other while everybody else at the table is, like...
Yeah.
Actually, so roll stealth checks to see how, like, the silent conversation goes, and then you guys can tell us what you're trying to convey to each other.
Well, hold on. First,
because
this will be great if it fucking fails.
I would have been great, but that's not awful. 15.
I also got 15.
Okay. Please tell us the silent conversation that happens between the two of you here.
Okay. Man, this is fucking weird, right?
Yeah, no.
Can you roll an insight check for me, by the way?
Heck yeah.
I don't have any kind of read on this. I'm way out of my element, dude.
Yeah, I'm kind of wondering if we should tell them that the Deep King has, like, lost his mind. I kind of think we need to warn them away from Gracklestug because it kind of seems like they're, like, in their own little bubble of, like, safety, and they're trying to reach out, and then they're just going to get dominated because they're too trustworthy.
Nope, definitely. Or, like, the Deep King's going to exploit them for everything that they have here.
Exactly.
And then wreck their shit. Yeah, but also, like, Deep King went crazy, but do we even care about... Like, we haven't addressed with any people, like, functioning societies, the fact that there are not one, but two, at least, demon...
Yeah.
Lords, whatever, running around the place.
It's, and that's, like, I think we have to tell the king and queen that.
Okay. Cool.
Andrew, is that... Let me first clarify. Was that the end of your silent conversation here?
I think. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah?
Andrew, what'd you get for an insight check?
12.
Okay. And you guys got 15 and a 16, I believe? Or was it
12? No, we both got 15.
Okay. The king and queen... both got in the 20s, so you guys are having this silent conversation.
Yeah, we're like, but you're like eye nodding
and like raising your eyebrows and kind of like, but like the one point where you're talking about like dominating, it's like you're doing the finger puppets on the table, and still is just like smashing it at one point. Just bug-eyed staring at you like, what the fuck?
Do a couple of those like cross the neck like death.
Like, talking about the demon princes and like one of you has like your hand up by your head pretending to be Demogorgon.
My tentacles like flash out like in all directions.
And so they're just Sir Laertes is like bringing you back, and the queen's like, well, it sounds like
sorry, Laertes, did you have something in your can I help you? Did you have something in your throat?
No. Yes, sorry. Some beer went down the wrong way. Don't mind me.
We would like to speak in private later.
The queen and king nod at each other like, okay. Sure. And he turns back to you and goes,
but of course, no, yes, absolutely.
He turns to his wife. Honestly, dear, I think I'm quite done.
do you all require more time, or would you like to speak sooner?
Now is good.
I think now is a good time. I like give Scylla an eye and a nod, and I like look at the baby.
Yeah, she mimes. That was a fail. She like mimes and like.
Oh no,
Jesus!
And then she follows along.
Artemis is over here, just like chowing down on a turkey leg, just vibing.
all this.
Yeah, he's just totally vibing. Beatrice is up, like, against you, just super lovey-dovey, until Griselda's like, Beatrice, would you be dear and take her? And Beatrice comes around the table and takes the child and leaves.
I, like, and totally ignorantly just, like, pull a dagger out of the bag and start, like, sharpening it.
Oh my god!
Laertes is like, well,
this is why we're not welcome
anymore. No. My lord, would you require any significant place for this meeting? Starcaller and I could do, protect you or make sure that you were not overheard. And the king goes, perhaps we'll just, it's best if we walk the halls and, Laertes, you could walk before us, and Starcaller, if you wouldn't mind, you could watch our rear, as it were.
Aye, it would be my pleasure, sir.
Goes, wonderful. And he kind of wipes his hand on a cloth napkin, puts it down, puts his hand out for his queen, helps her out of her chair, and he goes, well then, shall we? And
Scylla's gonna get up and pull out Sibel's chair for him.
Very kind.
What? Thank you.
Yes, it seems proper here.
It is proper, and it's very much appreciated. Felix stands a little bit taller, like, I'm a classy fucking guy.
It's about time I get recognized.
God damn, it only took a trip into the deadly Underdark to get some manners. Oh,
man. People. Stool remains sitting at the table, still staring at all the different mushrooms and tubers on the table, and he just turns his large skull head back towards you guys and is like, I'm gonna stay here for a little bit, if that's okay.
Oh my god, this is 100% his Joker origin story.
Yeah, no.
He's gone.
School's in Nom right now.
Yeah. Fortunate Son starts playing.
He's like hearing the screams of the small mushrooms as he watches.
Oh, yeah, it's not washing over him like a tidal wave. Blades. It's like the sound of a knife on a chopping board really fast.
And a sizzling skillet over a fire.
Oh, god. All right, this is getting dark. It's not unlike our trademark. Anyways, you guys go back out through kind of the main entrance that you have come through here, and you just start making your way through kind of like the various caverns and walkways, and it seems relatively quiet. Every once in a while, when a kobold appears in front, Sir Laertes kind of like runs ahead and gives them a brief word, and they they nod their head and they go down a separate tunnel way. But you guys, from what you believe and now feel comfortable with, is that you are, as you're kind of being shown around various parts of the kingdom, that you are now in private. And so, you know, Queen Griselda kind of looks over at her shoulder at you and goes, so what would you care to talk about now? Do you feel comfortable?
Yes. The demon princes of the abyss have all started to appear in the Underdark.
What the fuck?
Sweet fucking Toril, Scylla. Have a little.
Oh, I'm sorry. Should have waited.
Have a modicum of tact when you break that kind of information.
Oh, I apologize.
My goodness.
Everybody's just running around screaming now, losing their minds. No, they just kind of, they just kind of stop and
we're
turn back.
We're going to die.
It's over. Right. The end is here. These cultists come out of the walls and they're like, we've been predicting it for centuries.
Torch the village.
The city of Amber will fall. There's bells ringing. No, none of that happens.
Oh, God.
But it's just one creepy kobold comes out with a robe and he's like, I knew it. He's ringing the bell. I told you it was coming. And they're like, oh, Laertes, can you
Can you take care of Grumbles?
Grumbles.
To be shown back to his room.
Kill him.
Yeah, Sir Laertes like takes him around the corner and you just hear a and Sir Laertes comes back and he's just like shuffles his boot on some dirt.
These fucking Greek prophets will trouble us no longer.
We killed our oracles long ago.
Your prophecies aren't welcome here, old man.
Andrew's just sitting here like, maybe someday I'll get to play.
I feel so bad, too. I'm like, Andrew needs to get in on this.
Listen, you ingratiated yourselves into the fucking kobold kingdom.
Yeah,
you don't get a smooth entrance.
Things are chill here. I'm just waiting for you losers to leave so I can go back to normal.
Oh gosh. So they just kind of stop and turn back to you, and they're like, "Could you please elaborate upon that?"
So,
of course.
Before, well, I guess there was sort of a simultaneous system of events. So, myself and a couple of friends that are, well, one is no longer with us and one is not currently a friend. But we were in a coastal town known as Sloopadoop. Are you familiar with?
Is this perhaps a village of the Koatoa?
Well, it was, in fact.
Oh,
it is now a sandbar of the Koatoa corpses. Do you know what a Demogorgon is?
The king and queen kind of look at each other and they're like, I'm afraid our knowledge and our histories here are quite limited. We are a relatively new kingdom.
Sorry.
Any knowledge you have is quite useful.
So the Demogorgon is a prince of the Abyss. He is a very, very large, double-headed, tentacled, furred beast of terror, who is not supposed to be here. He's very much supposed to be in the Abyss. However, he is here and laid waste to Sloopadoop and the inhabitants. And we actually don't know his current whereabouts because, as I said, my companions are no longer with me. The inhabitants of Sloopadoop are long dead, and I ran very far away. And Scylla has some similar experiences.
They both turn to you, mouth agape, Scylla, just like, what?
Yes, my people, the Triton, are from the Dark Lake, and, well, my entire community is no more, and it is due to Dagon. Dagon is another demon prince who laid waste to thousands, hundreds of thousands of not just my people, but other species and communities as well. A creature, well, if you can imagine a creature large enough and deadly enough to destroy an entire underwater civilization, that is Dagon.
Well, this is, of course, great cause for alarm. And what occurred in Gragglestuck that made you leave in such great haste? Has a demon prince also ransacked the city there?
No, that was actually comically unrelated. Honestly, such a far jut away from all of that madness. It has us reeling a little bit, too. No, so the Deep King himself has gone a little bit mad. More so than he already was. I don't know if he was before.
Well, Sophel, I would actually question. Didn't you say that there was a being involved that had power similar?
No, so there was... There is some
Grazit?
Woman... well, Grazit's another... no, actually, I think you are right. So, Grazit is another denizen of the... I'm actually not sure...
Good lords, it's an epidemic!
Yeah.
Everywhere.
No, it's fucking everywhere, and it's kind of terrifying, and honestly... Not a lot of people have really been talking about it, because all of the ones that were aware of it are dead, or want us dead. So we couldn't really talk to anybody in Gracklestug.
We have a theory that this Grazit is more of an understated, less of a doom-destroy individual, and more of a manipulation and, well, coercion. The Deep King was... manipulated.
This is quite troublesome indeed.
And he's... The king and queen are kind of looking at each other, and even Sir Laertes looks a bit concerned. And they go, it seems we are beset by many an angle of supernatural forces.
Actually, I apologize to interject here. Don't I remember... Mr. Starcaller, you said something about a giant furred red flaming beast.
Not indicated.
Aye. No, I don't believe
this was
the...
Would you like to cut into this conversation?
Oh, hello, yes. Artemis Starcaller here. Long time listener, first time talker.
We're so sorry that... Not for the first time talking, but that you were listening for all that time.
It was very disturbing. No, my companions that I delved into the underground, the underdark with, were waylaid by a demon, sounds very similar to the ones that you encountered as well. It seems that the caverns are beset with abyssal forces.
Mm.
This is concerning. If there is another entity, we are, I have to speak plainly, at a loss. We have lost many of our allies, and we know that we are perhaps in a fortuitous position to be able to help because of the knowledge which we hold, but we are lacking in resources and information moving forward.
Well, well, your information is very much appreciated, and I'm sure we can try to use it to our best advantage to prepare. I suppose the question for you is, if we are to prepare ourselves, our kingdom, for perhaps the emergence of these demons... and you are in need of resources and aid. If we were to provide you with some, would you perhaps help our humble kingdom yourselves?
I think Scylla and Svel have another moment.
Okay. Right, roll stealth.
No, more like more miming vaguely regicide type.
Nat 20. Nat 20.
20 on stealth, great.
Yep. Okay, 9.
You have some, like, an eyebrow wiggle.
Alright, you're rolling that insight there, Andrew?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, alright, the others have rolled. So go ahead, have your silent conversation for everybody to hear.
Okay, cool. I mean, obviously we're gonna say yes, Raceville.
I mean, sure, but, like...
Well, I mean, they're cannon fodder, obviously.
I mean, sure, but... I'm glad. You know,
wow.
Scylla is such a nice, refreshing, like, we're so in sync. I'm so glad. Yeah.
This feels like a really weird, like, wash over from, like, you and Lara, where you guys were getting before the end there, too. You know?
Yeah, but then, you know, yeah, we just skipped then that she thing. Had to fucking die.
Then she had to die, yeah.
And then not die, but she came back as, like, so less cool.
Weird, yeah.
Yeah, she's kind of weird.
Yeah. It's a really bad character, honestly. Yeah, no, we're gonna help.
Okay, yeah. So, I'm kind of thinking that we ask for resources. We maybe drop off Stool and Sue.
Possibly, but like, what resources are we gonna? Like, what do we think these people can actually help us with?
Well, we definitely. I mean, I said cannon fodder, but it's kind of true. We need like a couple.
Yeah, no. They have numbers.
Health potions, rations for those of us that need those.
Yeah.
And then maybe like if I'm assuming they have like some trade routes, they can give us like a vague idea of what's in the area. We should probably check into like the local towns and see if they've also been decimated.
Sure. Are we like demon hunting now?
I mean, I don't know what else. We're like in this like weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
We need to ask them if they've heard other news and if they know anything about.
Yeah, and we need allies. We need allies regardless. So I don't think we're really in a position to say no.
Yeah, I think it's on base now.
And we can crush them if they, you know, if they betray us. Because they'll just
like trust us. And
yeah, no, they're small and squishy and they're super optimistic and naive and, I will kill them all.
Yeah.
Okay. Andrew, what'd you get for an insight check?
18.
Okay. The others didn't roll quite as high as last time. They averaged a 16. So everybody's okay. They like are like, it seems like it's good, but they got a little dark there at the end. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
But you guys have your silent conversation. They don't necessarily know what you're going to say here. So what do you tell the king and queen?
I think an alliance would be fortuitous for both sides, so we will certainly provide aid if you do so as well.
Wonderful, wonderful. No, this is, I think this is the beginning of a wonderful and fortuitous friendship between all of us. I guess the most obvious question for ourselves, besides what can we aid you in, is how does one prepare for a demonic threat?
I was discussing with Zabel.
I don't know if you noticed, well, miming to each other.
Yeah, right. I believe that there is a well of power perhaps to be tapped into, which we have come into contact with previously, briefly. Sefel calls it the Ferez. And perhaps there is more that we could learn that could help us to gain in power.
That I actually didn't think to harness it that way, and that's a little bit offensive to myself. But no.
I learned it from you.
No, there is. I'll take that victory. Thank you. There is actually an obelisk that we found in the Whirlstone tunnels beneath Gracklestug that is capable of manipulating, or at the very least, magnifying the effects of magic cast upon it. That is actually a good start. Could be used as a tool. I also do have in my possession some fairly powerful magical items, but they're half-baked at best. I mean, this staff that I have was crafted by a magical smith.
Yes, no, we have a few talented smiths ourselves. Perhaps they could aid you in improving upon your staff.
He used a particular kind of crystal
found here in the Underdark that enhances some of the magical abilities that I possess. My understanding is that if I were to find other crystals akin to it and harness those in similar ways, that I could amplify the power of the artifact even further. So that is, I don't know if that's helpful. I don't know if it's a demon prince preparation level thing, but it's what I have.
Very well. It sounds that perhaps arming ourselves with greater and stronger, more magically inclined items might be of benefit to us all, particularly yourselves. Well, I'm... Oh, yes, please.
Apologies. The last thing I would ask is, if you've heard any rumblings of stories of towns which you associate with, or perhaps any cults or strange happenings, would also be good for us to investigate.
At the mention of, like, strange happenings, the king and queen do kind of look at each other, and they're like...
Ooh, silent conversation. Insight.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Go ahead. They're having their own now. Everybody's will able to do this.
19.
That one.
Okay, all right.
Who are they killing? What dirty terrible 20. Things are they saying?
Okay. So they, like, immediately turn towards each other, and they're about to start, and, like, everybody's right there next to them, like, faces into the huddle, just and they're just in. Perhaps this is just better if we go ahead and she's like, absolutely, no, that makes sense. And so they pull back and everybody pulls back and they go, well, we hadn't quite mentioned it to our friend Starcaller here, as we were trying to handle it amongst ourselves, but we do have a rather interesting system of bathing here within the Kingdom of Ember. However,
this took a weird turn.
No, no, wait, it's not dirty. Stop it.
Join
us. You tentacled man.
I'm sorry, I've heard plenty of stories of Beatrice. I can only use the information I have.
Beatrice.
Starcaller gets a far off gaze.
Yeah.
Hey, your tunic doesn't hide all. Calm down.
The rusty kobold must stay out of this for the moment. Ugh, there's too many stories about that one. Anyways, they could be written into numerous novels and scattered about the world. Anyways.
Not safe that was for work.
That was a Skyrim reference for all you fucking nerds. anyways.
But we're the fucking nerds.
Did you guys get it then?
No.
The Lusty Argonian or whatever?
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. Anyways. So about a month or two back, we have, for much of our kingdom's time period, used a rather deep underground system of hot water springs to bathe and do much of our wash and to access clean water, while we have other means of accessing clean water and bathing. However, there was something rather exceptionally rejuvenating about this area, and it has now become oddly more swampish, to be precise, which is quite odd. Odd vegetation. The pools have gone dark while remaining quite warm. And there has been some odd amphibious-looking creatures now inhabiting it. And while we have managed to fight off a few of these, not all of our soldiers have come back quite intact. And so that gives us great means for pause. And so we have sealed the tunnels farther down into them. And, well,
We were hoping to perhaps gather, as the lot of you were thinking, some higher forms of magic, or with the greater aid of our smiths, some other forms of power that we might combat those that have inhabited our springs. As for other civilizations, our closest ally was those of Bligdenstone. They are the of the greater deep known civilization. Wonderful people. We were working on a very significant trade route between the two of us, and they have also gone rather dark. Small bits and pieces make it through here and there. Some of our people return. But they have been waylaid on many a side from various forces, some explainable, some inexplicable. It's all rather confusing, and perhaps it is these demon princes that are causing this trouble. Now, we have heard of quite an interesting grove, but we have not ventured there ourselves. I believe perhaps your friends, your Myconate friend, might know of it.
Do you know where it is?
We're not exactly sure where. We haven't managed to pinpoint its location. But we are not aggressively seeking out a means to get there by any means. We don't want to come off as conquerors of any kind.
It is interesting that you bring it up. We had not thought of it as a piece of this puzzle, more so of just a destination for our comrade. But perhaps it is worth a thorough investigation.
Well, we would not stop you if you, whatever you happen to find there, whatever information you gather, you would not mind sharing with us. Do not think that you are sworn to us or captives here. You are free to come and go as you would like. We just only ask that you reciprocate said kindness that we have brought onto you and would happily give you. And if perhaps with the acquiring of greater arms, if you could help us investigate our hot water springs, it would be of great benefit to us and to yourselves, perhaps, to have them back at our disposal.
Yes, I think, and Sefel, please don't allow me to speak for you, but I believe that we would be honored to help you with your plumbing as a testament to our faith in this alliance.
I... Rough speech as it may be, I do think I am in agreement. Now, to be clear, this seems... I don't want to march ourselves into death, so this hot spring situation does seem like it is certainly above our skill level at this moment. You are not recommending this as a first course of action to then open ways into others. This is a, let's table this and gather strength first.
I could not presume to know what your power lies or what it is that you are capable of. You're clearly not of the Underdark, as you say, and if you have managed to survive for this long, albeit maybe on just luck, though I don't necessarily believe that, as I said before, you're welcome to go down now. It'd be great benefit to us any time that it could be reopened to us and our people. However, we did, and they turned towards you, Starcaller. We did hear of a rather old tomb has appeared. And with any such place, there is often treasures hidden within. And we know you, Starcala, my lord, are very interested in your own crusade. And we were going to bring this information to you to, if you would like, to well, not necessarily plunder said tomb, but explore it and perhaps see what you might find.
Yes. To plunder, explore this tomb and bring its glories before my king and queen. It would be my pleasure. But I am also not above being a plumber as well. I am your sworn sword, so whatever you want, king.
He nods his head. We're not asking for plumbers per se. We're not going to deck you in overalls and outrageous colors and send you through the pipes. No. It's not. It's nothing such as that.
It sounds like you want us to get deep into your water pipes and unclog the mess. Is that not what you're asking?
You hear a. And, like, the flapping of a fan, you look down the hall, and you just see Beatrice running away. And I was just like, oh, God. No. Listen.
I don't know what she took from that was so offensive. I truly don't understand.
This was the springs. A very large collection of caverns that had fresh, hot water springs that allowed us to both bathe, heal our peoples. There was a very unnatural, rejuvenating air about the place, and well, without access, we've failed to necessarily keep up with the wounded of our soldiers, either through training or small clashes within the tunnels outside of our kingdom. This is what we desire most of all, is the means to better our people quickly and effectively.
I mean, I do feel like that is an important task to take. Certainly, anything with healing properties and the ability to bolster an army, or just peoples and soldiers alike, is a strength.
Certainly valuable.
Mm-hmm. Yes, no, that's why we're like, yes, no, we want that. We want that back soon.
Yeah.
But there's no
going on with your voice right now. What?
Is that... It honestly sounds like something that perhaps, even if we aren't, I do believe that we are strong enough to assist with this. However, we can go in on a reconnaissance to begin.
Yes, we should absolutely understand what we are facing, of course. And if it is too much, we can always retreat, you know, build ourselves to an ability level that can be useful in this scenario. If we are not prepared, perhaps we take a small excursion to this tomb that the king has mentioned. Perhaps there's something there that could give us the edge that we need.
Ah, yes. First the plumbing, then the plunder. Sounds excellent.
Well, interchangeable, depending on which is more beneficial first. To perhaps... plumb or to plunder... That is the question.
Oh, God. Perhaps there is something we could show you that might better inform yourselves as to what does await you down there. Would you care to join us?
Lead on.
Of course.
So they lead you down one of the nearby tunnels, and eventually you come to a double set of doors, which they unlock and open, and you see that it is a very cold, kind of low-ceilinged cavern, and you see numerous kind of, like, stone plinths and tables and stuff. And Starcaller, you are aware of this. This is basically, like, their morgue. And... you have seen this, what they're about to show, and they lead to, like, the farthest back corner, and they come to kind of a large kind of thing upon the floor covered with various tarps, to which Sir Laertes and the king grab onto a couple of them and pull this back, and there's this large red amphibian-like creature. It has these 3 fingers, 3 primary fingers, and this long thumb that have these black claws that come out, these bent back, 4-toed, long rear legs. this frog-like face with these kind of small teeth jutting about, these dull red eyes, and has kind of like these small spines. And you see that it is littered with numerous wounds, but it looks like essentially a large giant frog with these horribly long claws. And any of you are welcome to do a arcana check to figure out what this is.
I will partake.
As a creature of the deep, can I get a little help on this? Or?
I will say this, no, looking at it, this is not a creature of the deep.
Oh, cool. Okay. Interesting.
All right. I'm using one of my knowledges as well. So that is a total of a 24.
I got a 7.
Okay.
I got a rock.
You.
It looks like a fish.
You correctly know this as a red slod.
Ooh.
Oh, no. They are a large apparition. And I will go ahead and send you guys an image in our Discord, by the way.
I thought you said red slut, and I thought it was the lusty Argonian.
Lusty woman. She cannot be contained. She's taken over our hot springs.
Hey, I told you, she's a classy broad.
There's the image in our Discord.
Oh, boy.
That's what this creature is.
Oh, he's real cute.
We'll post it in our Discord. Yeah.
And so they're like, yes, no, there was... And they go over and they actually uncover a couple more bodies. And you can see that some of them have had, like, their chest burst open. And inside you can see what look like tadpoles of a sort. Oh. Like inside, they go, we had to kill some of our own, for these creatures were capable of laying eggs of a sort within our soldiers. This one here, and they point back to the large red slot, goes, this is what happened when we did not realize our first soldier to be incubating an egg burst forth from it and managed to elude us before it grew to such a size, rampaging through some of our deeper tunnels. It was quite formidable, and those that it did take down, we had to kill ourselves. We have no true understanding of what these creatures are like or what they can do other than what we have now ascertained. But we believe this and lesser amphibian creatures, you might have heard of them, the Grung. They are as well within the hot springs. They seem to be of some odd cohabitation before we made our egress.
Well, with that, with my 24 arcana, do I know, like, what do I know about these creatures? Like, I know they're aberrations. Do I have any information on, like, how fucked we are?
Okay. You do know about the kind of, like, you know a decent bit about them. You know that they supposedly, come from the world of Limbo. They were supposedly, by the stories, created by Primus, the kind of overlord of Modrons and so on, and created a stone that essentially have spawned these creatures, but the power that, like, he drew upon to create these creatures, nobody's quite certain about. Because Modrons and stuff that you know are kind of these mechanical automatons and mixture of life, while these are purely chaotic beings, you know, natural beings. You know that if you are slashed by the claws of a slod, this particular red slod, that inside the claws, they carry their eggs. And so if they get those into you, they can inject those eggs, infect you essentially with it. And then over the course of 24 hours, the host will start to feel worse and worse and worse until eventually the tadpoles bursts from the host, trying to consume the host. And then within another number of hours, as it feeds on others, it will eventually transform into this slod. And you also know that red slods are not the only ones out there. There are far worse ones.
Cool.
Yeah.
So this is an invasive
species. Probably one of the most invasive species, yes. Yeah,
violently so.
Yeah. Best handled at a distance.
Okay.
And, you know, as you guys are kind of conversing about this, they tell you just to bring down this one red slod, it took them, you know, 50 regular soldiers.
Okay.
So, like, it's pretty decently strong, but, you know, the scale guard that you guys had interacted with, they are kind of the elite of the city of Ember, and or the kingdom of Ember. And so you, from what you're being told, it sounds kind of more of like the militia of the kingdom of Ember are the ones that took this on. Gotcha. And so they might not have been, well, they were unprepared for what this was and not being trained for it. They got wiped out pretty quickly.
Okay.
So perhaps maybe we plunder before we plumb.
That is entirely your cause. If you wish to arm and gain further arms and armaments and other means to combat this threat, by all means, please, we would not lose you, as you have already brought such news of other greater dangers, and we can always use fresh faces and help here.
I would have to agree. It sounds as though we should arm up ahead of time, unless there is a time-sensitive reason that are these creatures growing quickly? Is this something we need to be moving?
We have no knowledge on that. We have sealed the tunnels with layers and layers of bedrock, and if you wanted to go there now, it would take about a week before we had fully uncovered the tunnels there. Mm. That we have no way of knowing what their numbers are now.
Well, that might be a timeline that is actually easy to work within. If we go to this tomb that you had mentioned that appeared to see what it holds, to see if there's strength to be found there, while you and your people remain here and begin to uncover the tunnel, that gives us a week to go and do what we need to do and then return and hopefully be better prepared.
Good. No, that's sounds wonderful. Honestly, yes. No, we can begin work on the tunnels, perhaps getting it to such a point that it wouldn't take too long to uncover the final bits of rubble, but also not allowing them access to us while you go ahead and figure out what is within this tomb. Yes, that sounds good.
Aye, a fine plan. You are clearly of a high intellect, Stefel.
And, of course, I assume you would be joining us, Mr. Starcaller, as the information of the tomb was given to you, and you sound like a treasure hunter of sorts.
And you are interested in large red beasts.
Aye. I will absolutely accompany you to this tomb. It's of great interest to me to see what is there, and also to know if I can gain some power for my eventual revenge upon this red creature.
That's a plan, then.
Wonderful.
Wonderful. Well, if you are in need of any equipment, please visit our smiths, and whatever you feel you might need in terms of provisions or lesser things that we can provide you, we will
do so, and we shall provide you a runner that shall lead you to the entrance of this tomb that was discovered.
Very well.
And so you all kind of exit this morgue-like area and head back to the tunnels. Laertes and kind of leads you back towards the main hall while the king and queen make their way back to the hall and retrieve their child and such. And so you guys are, Laertes kind of like bows and leaves you and goes, you know, find me should you require any more assistance. And he leaves you guys. What do you want to do?
Well, it sounds as if we are going to go on an excellent adventure.
Starcaller, it would be good to know your skills in combat. Is there anything that we should know to be able to work with you well?
Oh, well, I can move very quietly when I need to. I'm rather quick on my feet. And I can do a lot of damage very quickly.
Is there anything you're particularly bad at? Things that we should not build strategy on? No, No.
It is the soul of understanding here.
It is important to know weaknesses as well as strengths. I'm sure you as a a battle tactician can agree with me.
Of course, and how do I put this lightly? I have very low standardized test scores.
Nice.
Well, I mean, it's a terrible system to begin with. It's really built for failure, if you dig into it anything further than surface level. It's
when I dig into things, usually I find the bottom of them.
I don't know how to take that, so we're going to move on. Beatrice pulls out her fan in the other room.
Yeah, you hear just like, that's all right.
Yeah, he does.
When we depart, I would like assurances that Sue will be taken care of by Beatrice or another.
Oh, of course. There's none finer than Beatrice. I can tell you that.
Wonderful. And I think that Stool should also be watched for, as he might not be doing particularly well.
Yeah, he's going through a tough time right now.
Do you have counselors?
No. Those who heal with the mind, absolutely. There are many such practitioners here within these hallowed halls.
I think it would be good to set both of them up with a counseling session. Separately, of course.
Of course, I will see to it.
Thank you very much.
Perhaps keeping Stool away from the corpses of his own species would be helpful for his rehabilitation.
Well, if his species were not so delicious, it would be much easier.
You know, I used to say the same thing, and I got a lot of weird looks.
Seems totally uncalled for. A natural thing to think.
As you guys,
Scylla, let's keep him.
As you guys are conversing, you do all turn when you hear it. And you turn and you see a particularly soot-covered kobold who has like a welding mask that has been like tipped up. They have these heavy-duty gloves and a leather apron on, clearly a smith of a sort. And they kind of like lick their lips with their serpentine tongue, and they're holding like this very large-looking contraption. And they go,
Starcaller, here it is.
And Hilda, okay. It is beautiful.
It's Trilda.
Oh, shit. I mean, triplets. I'm so sorry.
It's all right.
And you guys look at this odd item. It looks like a large box, almost kind of like a miniature, like the main holdings of a ballista. However, you see in the middle of it, there's this long slot and there's these circular kind of discs along the edges. And towards the back, they go,
Perhaps we can go into the other room to show you how it works. This is new stuff. We don't want anybody getting hurt, and it's going to hurt somebody.
Absolutely. Lead the way, Trilda.
They lead you where you can hear like the clanging and cursing of other voices into the smithy. And you see this very large workshop, and inside you see two other kobolds in very striking resemblance to Trilda, who had come out. And you see a couple of targets along the other walls. The other kobolds like kind of turn, and they're kind of quietly talking to themselves as you guys have entered in here. And so Trilda like holds up. She goes,
"So we got two types of projectiles here. We got the long one," and she holds up what looks like this really long, just kind of steel rod.
And then she holds up what looks kind of like what we would call like a musket ball or like a large steel bearing. And she goes,
"All right, you know what? How about you just lay it down right here on the stump and I'll show you."
"Oh, of course, please, Trilda."
And so you set it down, and she goes, "So you gotta be really quick when you drop in the big one, because it's just gonna wanna go. And again, this is all experimental. Everybody keep in mind, please stand over there behind all the other racks. We don't exactly know how big this is gonna get." And so she, like, plops down her visor. The other two kobolds, they also plop down their kind of welding-like visors. She goes, "Big ba, testing in 3, 2, 1. And she just, like, shoves it in there. And you just hear this, like, and this steel bolt just flies out the other end and into the shaft. Like, the shaft just embeds itself into the wall across the way. And there's this explosion of rubble echoing backwards. And she goes,
"Right, well,"
dust and everything is everywhere. And she's like, "All right," she turns it a little bit. "Testing smaller projectile, 3, 2, 1. And the same kind of thing, but it's faster. And you just hear this whistle of just smaller hole, but it still embeds itself deeply into the wall. And she goes,
"All right, well, it'll work. Please bear in mind, once the projectile is in, it will fire. We have no on-off switch for this one, bud."
And she comes back over and, like, hands it to you. She's like,
"Good luck out there. Don't die."
There's no safety switch.
Just the way I like it.
And you now have a, like, for our terms, Gauss Ballista as requested.
Jesus.
Damn!
And that's where we'll end today.
Dang! Oh man, is that the time? We're overdue for another check-in with you fine listeners. Thanks as always for being here right up to the outro. We really appreciate that. You will never believe this, but we recently hit our 1-year podcast anniversary and 3,500 downloads. It's truly been a blast. We're having just a grand old time, and we look forward to another 50 episodes to come. Hopefully you join us for those next 50. That being said, we do have an exciting announcement. We have launched a Ko-fi page. Yes, that's Ko-fi page. There's no pressure to do so, but if you want to toss a coin to your witchers, that's us. You can head to ko-fi.com/themadnesstable. All donations will go first toward our monthly operating costs, which include our podcast hosting software, items like that. But our ultimate dream is to be able to upgrade our setups, to be able to offer live stream recording sessions to get that sweet, sweet video content to accompany our audio. If you're not able to donate, but you want to support the show, we would just adore you if you left that 5-star review in whatever podcatcher you're currently listening in, or if you just spread the word and tell a friend. We would be eternally grateful for that support. So that's it. Until next time, when
the madness continues.